As we stand, a short prayer. Our loving God, we thank you for this precious time together to think about your word written. Please shine your light into our hearts that we might understand your message and know your good purposes for our lives, that your name might be honoured through us. Amen. Please be seated. We're thinking in this time leading up to Lent and in the start of Lent about neglected characteristics of discipleship. That is, aspects of what it means to live as a follower of Jesus, which are sometimes forgotten. And our topic today is maturity, Christian maturity. You may have heard of John Stott. He was a leader in the Anglican Church in the second half of the 20th century, a humble and faithful Bible teacher whose ministry took him all over the world. And when asked to sum up the state of Christianity in the world, John Stott would often say, "Growth without depth." In his lifetime, he saw wonderful growth. In China, for example, when the communists expelled the Christian missionaries in 1949, less than 1% of the population was Christian. But in a recent edition of The Economist magazine, it was estimated there are now 130 million believers in China, despite the opposition of the government, 10% or so of the population. There's been wonderful growth in that part of the world, and in many other parts, Africa, South America, sadly not Europe. But this growth in the Christian church globally, I think, is tremendously exciting. But Christian leaders in those countries that see growth often report a lack of depth, a lack of Christian maturity, a lack of integrity and godliness. And that's why, passing on their concerns, John Stott summarised the state of Christianity in the world in that way: growth without depth. And I think that's sobering. Well, here in England, of course, we are not immune from lack of depth in our Christian faith. We're not immune from this shortage of Christian maturity. And that's why it's good that we're thinking about this topic this morning. We're going to focus on two verses from the first reading we heard. Two verses from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 on page 1183. In this epistle, the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Colossae in Asia Minor in Turkey. These believers aren't known to Paul personally. He's never met them, but such is his pastoral heart, he writes to encourage them. And he tells them that they've made a good start in the Christian life, and he urges them to grow in maturity. And in just verses 6 and 7 of chapter 2, there's a very comprehensive instruction showing us how we grow in Christian maturity and what that involves. Let me read verses 6 and 7 again. I think you'll see how comprehensive and helpful it is. Colossians 2, verse 6. "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." We'll see four brief things about Christian maturity. The first step in growing in maturity sounds simple, but I think it's challenging, and it is vital. It is this: continue to live with Jesus Christ as Lord. It's the start of verse 6, wasn't it? "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him." Explaining these verses, one writer asks us to imagine the immensity of space. She says that the distance between the earth and the sun is 93 million miles. And she says, imagine if that huge distance was scaled down to the width of a single piece of paper. Well, on that scale, the distance between the earth and the next nearest star after the sun would be a stack of paper 25 meters high, right up to the roof. and the diameter of our galaxy, well, that would be a stack of paper 310 metres high. And of course, our galaxy is nothing but a speck in the vastness of the universe. Then this writer points out that the Bible says that Jesus Christ created and sustains that vast universe by the word of his power. The writer then asks us to consider, is this Jesus Christ, who sustains the vast universe by the word of his power, the kind of person who we would invite into our life to be our assistant? And of course the answer is no. If this Jesus Christ is to be in our lives, it won't be as assistant, but as Lord. And we start the Christian life by receiving Christ Jesus as Lord. The Christian life begins when, overwhelmed by the love that Jesus showed us at the cross, we invite him into our lives to be in charge, to direct how we live in every area as he would like, according to his word in the scriptures. And wonderfully, we find that living with Jesus as Lord doesn't distort our lives at all. In fact, life with Christ is life at its best, life as God intended it to be. And now the apostle says here, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. I find it very easy, I don't know about you, to drift into living as if Jesus was my assistant or my friend, but not my Lord. I find that over time, areas of life are lived not as he would like, but as perhaps as other people would like, or as I would like. Areas like the way I speak to other people, or the way I speak about other people, my ambitions, place of alcoholic drinks in my life, my finances, what I read, what I look at online, how easily these things become lived as we would like, not as he would like. Well, the mark of the maturing Christian is that we keep on coming back to Jesus as Lord, asking him to be in charge of every area. It's the essential step. If we want to be maturing Christians, we need to continue to live with Jesus Christ as Lord. Well, Paul develops his teaching on Christian maturity in these verses, and he says, second of all, be rooted and built up in Jesus Christ. It's the teaching at the start of verse 7, rooted and built up in him. Now, the roots of a tree are unseen but vital. You can't see a tree's roots, but did you know they often extend to 2 or 3 times the width of the tree, such is their size? And although roots are normally shallow in the soil, in certain conditions they can go up to 50 metres deep, I discovered this week. Those unseen roots nourish the tree and they give it stability in storms. Well, just as a tree needs roots, so Christians need roots into Jesus Christ. And our roots are the vital unseen Christian discipline. One root is Bible reading, taking time in the week to reflect on the Word of God, to read in his Word and meditate on the truths it contains. Another vital root is private prayer, drawing near to God in prayer during the days to commit our ways to him. Now, these roots are unseen. At times, mine have been lacking or shrinking, but they are vital for growing Christian maturity. People sometimes ask me, how can I start growing these roots? Or how can I get back into growing these roots into Christ? Well, I often recommend starting in a small way, perhaps taking 7 minutes each day or whenever we can, 1 minute to pray to ask God to speak to us, 4 minutes to read a paragraph in the scriptures, 2 minutes to pray to God about what we've read in his word. We could look back at the scriptures that we heard read the Sunday before, or something I use is this explore time with God. I've mentioned it before. It sets me a Bible reading each day for that vital root time with Jesus Christ. And I've got some of these at the back, which you'll be able to see later if you would like to look at that. Many people have heard of John Wesley, the famous Christian leader in the 18th century. Less famous, but just as heroic, was his mother. At one time, she had 9 children at home with her. You can imagine how busy she was. And John Wesley's mother found time to grow her roots into Jesus by, whenever she could at home, throwing her apron over her head. Gave her a little moment of peace and quiet with all the children around her. And she would use that minute with her apron over her head to reflect on God's word and for private prayer. That's how she was developing her roots, even with the 9 children bustling around her in the kitchen. Without roots, there'll be no lasting growth in Christian maturity. Be rooted and built up in Jesus Christ. The third aspect of Christian maturity the Apostle Paul mentions here is to be strengthened in the faith. In the middle of verse 7, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. Notice he says, strengthened in the faith. Now, faith is belief, but in the Bible, the faith refers to the truths which we believe. The content of Christian belief, the creed which we say, is a summary of it. So this aspect of maturity is to do with maturity of the mind. The growing Christian is maturing in their understanding of Christian truth, an understanding of the character of God, the person of Christ, the meaning of the cross and resurrection, the work of the Holy Spirit, the return of Christ. Now, growth in understanding, maturity of the mind, is not just for intellectuals. John Wesley, again, in the 18th century, would share the Christian gospel with all kinds of people. But one group who were especially helped by him were the coal miners in the Kingswood area, quite near Bristol. Now, these coal miners had no education whatsoever. They couldn't read at all. But when they came to faith in Jesus Christ, Wesley and others would take time to teach them to read so that they could be strengthened in the faith, growing in their understanding of the truth. And some of them he taught to read Greek so that they could read the New Testament for themselves. These coal miners, they had no education at all. They became some of the most educated people in the whole area, principally so they could be strengthened in their faith. Well, what helps you grow in your understanding of the Christian faith? It may be listening to sermons. It may be small groups, house groups. I find reading books very helpful. And so for this week and next week, I'm resurrecting Drake's quality books. And I've selected 7 titles at the back, which I think would be a help to many people in being strengthened in the faith. You can browse them on the table by the plans for the new annex there. And we have very easy terms at Drake's Quality Books. You can even buy this week and pay next week if you wish. So maturity, it involves the life, as I've been mentioning, continuing to live with Jesus Christ as Lord. What a challenge that is. But also the mind, being strengthened in the faith. And last of all, it involves the heart, overflowing with thankfulness. It's what we see at the end of verse 7. I love the word overflowing here. It speaks of a thankfulness which is abundant, welling up, surging, like water overflowing from a fountain. The mature Christian, even in the midst of great trials and great sorrows, is also conscious of all the blessings God gives us and overflows with thankfulness. One of the churches I visited when I was in India was in some poverty, really. And many people in the congregation there had serious health problems. You could see that just looking at them during the Sunday service. But wonderfully, they started the service with a time of spontaneous thanksgiving. And person after person in the congregation would pray prayers of thanks for all the blessings that God had given them. What a sign of Christian maturity. The mature Christian can be at the very same time sorrowful about the trials we're facing, and also overflowing with thankfulness at the blessings of God. In fact, the word thankfulness here in verse 7 is eucharisto, from which we get our word Eucharist. The Holy Communion is many things, but amongst them it is a time for overflowing with thankfulness. Because communion reminds us of the heart of the Christian faith, that when we had turned away from God, he loved us still. And he gave his son. and that Jesus Christ's love for those who had rebelled against him was so great that he gave his body and blood when he died on the cross to pay for our sins. And so, however far from God we have wandered, we may put our faith in him and know his forgiveness, welcome, and acceptance. That's what we remember at communion. No wonder it came to be called Eucharist, Eucharisto, overflowing with thankfulness. Well, I mentioned that quote summing up the state of Christianity in the second half of the 20th century, growth without depth. Well, our dream for our church here in Wargrave is growth and depth. Our dream is to be a church where people can explore the Christian faith in a safe and loving setting, and we pray come to that point of receiving Jesus Christ as Lord. And also our dream is to be a church where every member is growing in Christian maturity. Now that's a challenge, but it is possible. Let me read the two verses again. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. The key to it all is Jesus Christ. In fact, later in Colossians, we're warned against apparent paths of maturity that depend not on Christ, but on ceremonies or mysterious experiences or customs or man-made rules. Now, in the Bible, all growth depends on Jesus Christ. A shallow relationship with Christ leads to a shallow Christian life. But if we continue to live with Christ as Lord, if we grow roots into him, as I was describing, perhaps with our aprons over our heads, if we're strengthened in our understanding of him and overflowing with thankfulness for all he does, well, it is possible to be a church where every member is growing in that Christian maturity. May that be true of us and of many. Amen.